Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Padman Sukhari Pad, Charja, Ashto Dhrisita Sri Srimad, AC Bhakti Veda, Nanta Koti Vaishnav Vrindaki Jai, Nama Charja Sri Vaidas Thakur Ki Jai, Jain Sakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi, Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath, Shama Kunradha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai, Navadvip Tham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Jai, All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Go, Prem Anande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 1.11.34. I assume we're not chanting responsively because I'm broadcasting it from a distance. Evam rapanam shiti bhara janmanam apshobini pi parivritta tejasam vithaya vairam swashano yatanavam mito vateno padato nagavirayutha Evam rapanam shiti bhara janmanam Akshohini hi parivritta tejasam Yathaya vairam swashano yatanalam Mato vitapatheno parato nirayutha Evam nipanam kshati bhara janmanam Akshohini hi parivritta tejasam Yathaya vairam swashano yatanalam Nito vateno parato nirayuta. Evam, thus, nirpanam of the kings or administrators, shiti bhara, the burden of the earth, janmanam, born in that way, akshohini bhi, powered by a military strength of horses, elephants, chariots, and infantry. Parivritta, being puffed up by such surroundings. Tejasam, prowess. Vithaya, having created. Vairam, hostility. Swasanaha, interaction of the wind and the pipe plants. Yata, as it is. Anula, fire. Mitaha, with one another. Vadhena, by killing them. Uparataha, relieved. Niyaduha, nirayudaha. Himself without being party of such weapons, is how Srila Prabhupada had it in the when he published it in Delhi. Nirayuta means without his being a party to such fighting, or without his taking up weapons. Ayuta means weapons, and Nirayuta, without weapons. Not a party to the fight. The Lord was pacified after killing those kings who were burdensome to the earth, They were puffed up with their military strength, their horses, elephants, chariots, infantry, etc. He himself was not a party in the fight. He simply created hostility between the powerful administrators, and they fought amongst themselves. He was like the wind, which causes friction between bamboos, and so sparks a fire. Purport. As stated above, the living beings are factual enjoyers of things which are manifested as God's creation. The Lord is the genuine proprietor and enjoyer of everything manifested in his creation. Unfortunately, influenced by the deluding energy, the living beings become false enjoyers under the dictation of the modes of nature. Puffed up by such a false sense of becoming God, the deluded living beings increase their material strength by so many activities and thus become a burden on the earth. So much so that the earth becomes completely uninhabitable by the sane. This state of affairs is called dharmasya glani, or misuse of the energy of the human being. When such misuse of human energy is prominent, the saner living beings become perturbed by the awkward situation created by the vicious administrators, who are simply burdens on the earth. And the Lord appears by his internal potency just to save the saner section of humanity and to alleviate the burden due to the earthly administrators in different parts of the world. He does not favor any of the unwanted administrators, but by his potent power, he creates hostility between such unwanted administrators, as the air creates fire in the forest by the friction of the bamboos. The fire in the forest takes place automatically by the force of the air. And similarly, the hostility between different groups of politicians takes place by the unseen design of the Lord. The unwanted administrators, puffed up by false power and military strength, thus become engaged in fighting amongst themselves over ideological conflicts, and so exhaust themselves of all powers. The history of the world reflects this factual will of the Lord, and it will continue to be enacted until the living beings are attached to the service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, this fact is very vividly described. There it is said, "The deluding energy is my potency, and thus it is not possible for the dependent living beings to supersede the strength of the material modes. But those who take shelter in me, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, can cross over the gigantic ocean of material energy." This means that no one can establish peace and prosperity in the world by fruitive activities or by speculative philosophy or ideology. The only way is to surrender unto the Supreme Lord and thus become from the illusion of the deluding energy. So we'll stop there and pick it up later. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurn Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Vena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Maisham Tadati Shapatam Titam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Tadakamanam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Stam Sahivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitam Stra E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Dukatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamsana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kodhatarubhyascha Kripasindho Pyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Evam Ripanam Shuti Bhara Janmanam Akshavini Bhi Parivritta Tejasam Vidhaya Vairam Swashano Yutanam Mito Vateno Parato Nirayutam Srila Prabhupada begins by discussing that no one is the enjoyer of material energy. The Lord is the owner, and he's the rightful enjoyer of everything. But under the influence of Maya, we become false enjoyers. We become puffed up, and we want to exploit the resources of the material energy. And this becomes, we become burdens on the world. And particularly, this is escalated or brought to a large scale by the activities of the heads of state, political forces, military forces, and we could add corporate forces, because in the present context, it used to be the kings were the ones who had the power, the money. Now, the corporations, international corporations, national corporations have so much money and so much at stake also in terms of the resources of the world. So the military leaders, the corporate leaders, the political leaders all have their vested interests. And they expand these interests, especially through the use of military power. The political and military and corporate interests are merged, and so the military becomes at least in part, a tool for the economic interests of the powerful corporate powers, to be redundant. And they expand things. The ordinary man on the street, he's a little tiny exploiter. But when you get these groups banding together as nations, as nations and as various kinds of powers, then they really go to town, as they say. Then they do engage in large-scale exploitation and create a hellish situation on the surface of the earth. Etam vishnama vashtabhya nashtatman opaputaya prabhavanti ugra karmani shayaya jagatovata. The demonic who think that there's no God in control, everything is to enjoy, create nasty activities, ugra karma, meant for destruction. Shayaya jagata, destruction of the world. So these unwanted traitors or powerful, we don't even say heads of state now, because the heads of state so often are subordinate interests. They're puppets so often of others. And puppets of other nations. If you're a small nation, you can be the head of state as long as you're the puppet of your sponsor nation. And even in the larger states, their interests behind the scenes, who are exerting strong, powerful influences, so that the head of state is not his own man. He himself is not free to do as he likes. So in any case, you have these world powers, regional powers, global powers, who are interested in their own advancement at the expense of the others, of course. It's not that we will just live in peace with one another. Everybody always wants more. Wants more, that country wants more, this party wants more, that party wants more. They're always jockeying for advantage. They're always moving their armies about in different ways to try to secure resources that matter to them. They're always trying to keep others down so that they can be up. And the ordinary are the ones who suffer. The animals suffer, the citizens suffer, the earth itself suffers. It's in the present context, people hack and frack the earth. They claw the earth for their own resources. They pollute the rivers. They cut down the trees, the forest. So they pollute the air. I mean, what's left? The water, the air, the earth. So they create a hellish situation. This is called dharmasyagrama. According to dharma, rules for how to live. There's a standard for how to live. But dharma means our prescribed duty, what we're supposed to do. Actually, human life should be simple, and our time should be saved for spiritual realization, the real goal of life. But everyone's frantic to enjoy on a small scale, on a big scale. And so the world becomes overburdened. So Krishna has his policy. Let them tear one another apart. This is also a political policy among human beings. A nation will say, why should I get involved? Let me, in such and such region, let me watch. Well, tear one another apart. And then I'll, even when India was conquered, the Rajputs were fighting amongst themselves. And when they weakened all of them themselves by fighting among one another, then the British took over. As far as I understand it, that's the history. The Rajputs fought among themselves. They exhausted themselves. And then the British easily took over because there was no cohesive power to oppose them. So in modern diplomacy, the same strategy is taken up. And so we think we're very smart. We're letting these people fight with one another. Or you can up that a little bit. If they're not fighting with one another, dissension. You create some tension. There are various, we won't go into the various methods employed to do that, but somehow or other you divide and rule. You find ways to get the people in the region fighting among themselves, and then you come in to establish peace in the region by taking over. And because they fought among themselves, they have no strength to oppose you, or they even come and say, oh, please come and protect us. So this policy is employed on the human level, but the smart geopoliticians who are employing these methods don't realize that there's a higher power above them who's doing the same thing to them. They think we're so smart. We've got these people fighting among themselves, and once they're exhausted, we'll take over. But they don't realize that they themselves are in opposition with other powers, that much they know. Why? Because Krishna's doing the same thing to them. You guys fight among yourselves, exhaust yourselves. Wear yourselves down. So this is going on. Sometimes one empire is up, later empire is down, another comes up. You know, Portuguese is that today. It's gone. No one thinks of Portugal as a world power, but it was. The Netherlands was a world power. It was a world power. Now it's America's the preeminent world power. In the future, no. Maybe they'll cut it up into little pieces so that it doesn't cause trouble whatever it's done now. Who knows? But it's not that America will live forever as the preeminent power. Some other power will come up by the laws of nature, and America will be down. This is history. So in any case, these powers, whichever ones they are, puffed up by their false power and military strength. Prabhupada talks about chariots and infantry and so on. That word etc. in the purport is significant. Now it's bombers and missiles and all sorts of Star Wars net weapons and so on. So everybody's busy building up their repositories of weapons, and sometimes using them, or sometimes just saying, oh, we have to replace these weapons, they're worn out. So the tactical end replace the weapons and benefit the corporations that manufacture them. So in all of this, the ordinary person is the loser. There's no real profit for him in all of this. But rather, his life is sucked out, and he's kept busy with useless entertainments and news and political, what's the word, contests, which are supposedly of great importance. But there's the overall picture that's going on is that the puffed up leaders of the world are jockeying for power, fighting among themselves, maneuvering and strategizing. And whoever's in charge, the ordinary man is the loser. But no one can establish peace and prosperity in the world by fruitive activities, by activities meant for enjoyment. That's what fruitive means. Or by speculative philosophy or ideology, that's for sure. You come up with your communism, your capitalism, your thisism, thatism, democracy. None of it actually leads to peace and prosperity and happiness. Speculative philosophy certainly doesn't take us anywhere. The only way is to surrender unto the Supreme Lord and become free from the illusion of the deluding energy. Well, that we don't want to do, but that is the way. Mam eva prapadyante mayam etam tarantita. That we have to do. We have to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. Sir, you're the owner, you're the enjoyer, we're your servant. Please engage us in serving you, and let us engage your property in glorifying you and serving you, not in let us not be engaged in trying to appropriate your property for our enjoyment. Let us use your property for your enjoyment. We'll also be happy as your servants. Bhavanta mevana churan nirantara prashanta nishesha manolakantara kada mai kantuka nitya kinkara praharshi ishyami sarati. I'm not going to be happy by all of my ideas and notions and plans and schemes. When my mind is peaceful in Krishna consciousness and I'm engaged as your eternal servant, then I'll be happy. Just as a child is happy under the protection of the dog is happy under the protection of a good master, you'll be happy when engaged in the service of Krishna. Unfortunately, persons who are engaged in destructive work are unable to surrender to the personality of Godhead. They're all fools of the first order. They're the lowest of the human life. They're robbed of their knowledge, though apparently it seemed to be academically educated. They are all of the demoniac mentality, always challenging the supreme power of the Lord. Then Namam Duskrita Namuta Prapadyante Naratana Maya Krita Gyana Prabhupada Prabhupada's glossing that verse and unpacking it in different ways. Those who are very materialistic always hankering after material power and strength, are undoubtedly fools of the first order, Buddha, because they have no information of the living energy. And being ignorant of that supreme spiritual science, they are absorbed in material science, which ends with the end of the material body. They think that they're advanced because of their scientific progress, but it will all be finished, and therefore what is the use of it? Of Buddhas, they're just working in that way. They're the lowest of human beings, Naratama, because the human life is especially meant for reestablishing the lost relation with the Lord. And they miss this opportunity by being engaged in material activities. They have the human form of life, they have the opportunity to become Krishna conscious, and instead, let me eat, let me sleep, let me have sex, let me fight. They are robbed of their knowledge, maya pratigyana, because even after prolonged speculation, they come to the stage of knowing the personality of Godhead, the summum bonum of God. Speculation is meant for bahunam janmanam ante gyanamam mam prapatyate. After lifetimes of speculation, one is supposed to become wise and surrender the personality of Godhead as the fruit of one's speculative object. And if one is guided by the Vedic sages, then one is brought along that path, philosophically, one step at a time, gradually he comes to the personality of Godhead. But they just want to have their minds running in this way and that way. And they never reach the stage of knowing the personality of Godhead, especially because Duskriti, they misuse the assets of the human form of life, that they become ineligible to understand. And all of them are men of Asura Bhavamashrita, and they suffer the consequences, as did such materialistic heroes like Hiranyakashipu, Kansa, and others. These are the heroes. There are so many demonic heroes. They accomplish wonderful things, but finally they're all wiped out. So here, Krishna himself didn't have to, although he descended, Vinashaya Chatuskritam, he didn't have to fight with so many miscreants. He gathered so many of them together at Kurukshetra and fight with one another. This was Krishna's program. Nirayuta. He didn't have to equip himself with weapons and fight against all of these puffed up kings. He let them fight with one another. Just as the forest fire destroys the whole forest. And the fire is started just by the wind and some bamboo or reeds rubbing up against one another. So the forest fire, samsara dhavana, burns up so many of these and kings and powers. And Krishna doesn't need to personally kill them. Krishna, of course, killed a few demons, and mostly that was for his own sport. He enjoyed fighting with Hiranyakashipu, he enjoyed fighting with the spiritual world. There are no demons to fight with. But in the material world, Krishna gets the opportunity to exercise his fighting propensity. So he keeps a few to fight with and lets the lesser demons knock one another out. And the Lord himself, yes. Yes, he lets them. He was like the wind, so he creates hostility between them. Through the modes of material nature, or he inspires them from within, do this, you fool. Inspired the other one, do that, you fool, so that they'll fight with one another. Just as states do that, they inspire other states to fight with one another so that the big state can eat up the little states. So Krishna inspires these great political powers, military powers. You fight among yourselves. So Krishna did that when he was present. Still this is going on. Krishna's leaving the world to these demons to fight it out over. But Krishna comes in the form of his holy name, and that's the opportunity, real opportunity, to given to everyone. Take this chanting and surrender. The message is there, the books are there, the mantra is there, the path is there. So why allow fighting with false pride, false prestige? Surrender. All right, maybe I'll stop here and see what kind of questions there might be. We're a little, the nature of online is that we don't have quite the spontaneity, but I think there might be some questions bubbling up somewhere. Might be interesting, but they might be. Jai Gauri asks, what are your personal realizations on the struggle for existence? Pretty tough, that's my personal realization. In the words of the sages, it's not one thing, it's another. The fight against Maya's influence, yes. The struggle for existence, everything's, just to exist. It's such a tough thing. The cats and the dogs are existing. They have a place to live. They have food. They have families. But for the human being, it's tough. Struggling to pay the bills. Struggling to keep the roof over our head. Struggling with legal cases. Struggling with taxation. Struggling with relationships. I'm not happy. Well, of course you're not happy, you blah, 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 blah. All of that. Struggling. Prakriti stani karshati. Pastani, the uncontrolled senses, the uncontrolled mind. The whole world is a struggle. It's a struggle individually, a struggle in family units, a struggle on the national and international levels. One big struggle. That's the material world. And particularly, we all have our little struggles. We're struggling with our drinking habit. We're struggling with our health. We're struggling with our children who seem to be going off course. We're struggling with this, we're struggling with that. And then overarching that, you've got these major struggles where nations are fighting among one another. Where nations are exploiting your resources. Africa's particularly comes to my mind because I work there sometimes. But the continent cursed with natural resources. Everyone wants a piece of it. And it's endemic that foreign powers create local dissensions there between tribes or family groups or this interest in the languages and so on, and creates fighting so that behind the scenes these great powers can put their own guys in and rape the place. Go for the diamonds, go for the gold, go for the agricultural land, go for the this, go for that. And the poor people are suffering under the burden of these powerful interests. It's said in Bhagavatam that by the end the people will just flee to the forest. What do you do when they want you to work 18 hours a day, and then they want to steal your money through taxes, and then they want to tax you again and put a legal case against you and this. Finally, you just say, forget it. You just run to the forest, because the forest will look so much better. The forest will look better than the towns and cities. That's the progress of Kali Yuga. So, one has to surrender to Krishna. Was this pandemic an arrangement by Krishna? Finally, everything's an arrangement by Krishna. Pandemic is the arrangement. I don't think Krishna's sitting in Goloka Vrindavan thinking, well, what can I do next? But the material energy is automatically working. What is that? Svabhaviki Gyana Bala Kriyacha. Krishna has his multifarious energies, and they work automatically. So Krishna doesn't have to interrupt his enjoyment to think of what kind of trust on earth. The material energy does it through her own arrangements, and even we do it. Knows where this pandemic came from. Was it coming from the wet markets and the animals and the objects, that enormous project for exploitation of the animals by the human beings? Zoogenetic, I believe is the word. So many of the viruses and diseases are transmitted to human beings by animals, and not just animals minding their own business in the forest, but animals that we raise and keep in these abominable conditions and slaughter and distribute the bodies of. Is it from that? Or did the virus escape from some laboratory where this government or that government was working on? What do we do with this? What do we do with that? America has its own program. Fort Detrick is there, among other places, where they experiment with all this stuff, with anthrax, with super viruses, and so on. And they have to, because, who knows what use the enemy might make of this, so we have to be one step ahead. So they've got, who knows, all sorts of biological agents in these, I think, class four, they call them, facilities, which are like space stations with all these precautions. But despite all precautions, these things may break out. So is the coronavirus a breakout from some laboratory somewhere? Who knows? Or did it come from animals that we've abused? Who knows? But it comes from material nature, where we have our jolly project to exploit and enjoy, this can derail everything. Now we're finding that out. One little microscopic, invisible creature. Can spoil everything. Can ruin your business. You know, if you're a business owner, you can go bust because of a little virus. If you're a country, you can go bust, practically speaking, because of a little virus. And we think we're puffed up because we've got chariots, we've got the tanks and guns and missiles and planes. But Maya has, among other things, little viruses, which are enough to smash our project. So if I'm intelligent, no. Let me surrender to Krishna. I am Aitam Tarantite, and get out of the whole field of birth and death and disease and old age. The verse quoted by Prabhupada in his lectures, can you tell me where in Bhagavatam is there? Bhavantam evana charam nirantara. It's Jamuna Chak, and for those who are Pavantam Evanu Charam Irantara. So you can look it up. That's what, why should Google go to waste? The people searching for sense gratification can look up that verse. So, Jumuna, either Jumuna Charya or King Kulushekhar. Why does it say that after many eons of lifetimes in the material world, that only then one surrenders? Because the speculative method is so iffy. Well, maybe this, maybe that, but if we look at it this way, if we look at it that way, and Professor such and such thinks this, but Professor such and such has answered that, Doctor's this, but Doctor such and such says that, according to this point of view, this, according to that point of view. There's no end to it. Speculating. And that too mixed with impious activities. The path of Vedic speculation is at least pious. You live according to dharma and you follow the path of jnana yoga and you try to gradually purify yourself and understand the ultimate truth. Nobody does that anymore. Yeah, we have sex like love bugs, and then we drink, and we smoke, and we try this, and we try that, and then we speculate about the meaning of life, or speculate about why bad things happen to good people like us. So, under those circumstances, the path of speculation will be very, very slow. But even under the best, it will be very, very slow. By that speculos puzzles, I forget what they call those Rubik's cube cubes. That's what they're not Rubik, but whatever it is, that cube. You know, how often does somebody solve that? Yeah, Rubik's. Okay, good. How often does somebody solve one of those puzzles? You try this, you try that, and it looks like you know that didn't work. Well, let me go back to square one. And then, you know, one out of a million people will solve that thing after a lifetime. So, slow. And in Kali Yuga, Sumanda Mateo, people are slow to begin with, and then if they take up some interest in spiritual life, there's so many cheaters waiting to guide them in the wrong directions. But then Prabhupada said that so many people are taking up this Krishna consciousness movement, they're surrendering. Instead of one out of millions and so many lifetimes, so many people are surrendering. Does that mean that this movement, because it's supposed to be only Manusyanam Sahasreshu, one out of thousands, but we see thousands of people taking it? So Prabhupada said, no, it's the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can skip over so many lifetimes of mental speculation and pious activities. And simply said that, that's intelligent, that if after some I'll finally surrender, then why not surrender now? Finish the business. Samapriya says, can you speak about the prime solution? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti Shodashaka Nam Nam Kali Kalmasha Nashana. Nata Paritaro Paya Sarveda Hishudhishita. Just chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And chant means, along with chanting, we'll read the books, we'll understand the philosophy, or first we'll get the book, then we'll get the chanting. And along with the books and the chanting, there'll be prasadam. So chanting, dancing, prasadam, philosophy. This is the simple thing. Navadana kichu nahi kovar chavaga kupanama. Actually, there's nothing else. Krishna. The Prabhupada himself has given the prime solution. Surrender to Krishna. That's all. Nothing else will work. What about no? I remember there was some construction question. Couldn't we just no? The expert said no. Well, couldn't we do that? No. You have to do this. But couldn't we? But would it be less expensive? No, you have to do this. So Prabhupada says, straightforward. Surrender to Krishna. Then someone says, how do I surrender? You mantra. NHL showed him Maya Nashi Viralagi. Harina Maha Mantra. Lao to me, Magi. This disease, that everyone's infected with the disease of Maya. I brought the medicine. I brought the medicine which will wipe out Maya. Everybody's so eager. Not everybody, so many people are eager. Can I get this vaccine? Can I get this vaccine? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I brought the vaccine for Maya. Or you're already infected. It's an antidote. You're already infected by Maya, totally. Take this Maha Mantra, you'll be cured. Harinam Maha Mantra. Chant the holy name of Krishna. Lao tu Maki. Just do that. Simple thing. Simple thing. Kirtaniya Sala. Anything else? Doesn't matter if there's anything else. We stop at 9. I think we can stop here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveta bhakta brinda ki jai. Gaur Premanandaya.